Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I am so enjoying spending this whole month of February focused on love and marriage and everything related. And this is Valentine's week. So today we have a special podcast interview with my friend Arlene Pelicane, and she is so much fun and so smart. And I think you are going to love this conversation. She's super practical and she has a brand new book out called Making Marriage Easier. And it's so good. I got to read it in advance and endorse it. And you're going to be able to tell how much I love Arlene by this conversation. So cannot wait to dive in. But first, I also want to tell you about something special that I finally finished and have ready for you. There's a link to it over on my website, but it's called the Marriage Builder Bundle. And it's something I really wanted to share for the month of February. I have gathered some of my favorite things, a video with my husband, a resource list, scripture-based prayers, all focused on building your marriage. I love it so much, and I'm offering it for more than half price just for the month of February. So be sure to go over to show notes, which can be found at monicaswanson.com/marriage-easier. And you will find links to, Arlene Pelicane, her book, all the things she has to offer, as well as the brand new Marriage Builder Bundle. Okay, guys, cannot wait to share this interview with you. So let's dive right in and talk with Arlene Pelicane about how we can make marriage easier. I hope it's super encouraging to you and your spouse. Arlene, welcome to the podcast.
It's so much fun to be together, Monica. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, welcome to Marriage Month, love, dating, marriage, all that on the podcast this month. And I just love this topic. I love love. Yes. It's so fun.
Love is in the air.
Yes, but it's not always easy. Right?
Sometimes you're choking on the air. No, sometimes you're like, help me, Lord.
That is so true, which is why we need your brand new book. I want you to tell everybody about you and briefly about the book, and then we get to learn. We get the inside scoop maybe before some people have read it. So jump in for me.
The book is called Making Marriage Easier. And it kind of came from this idea that you hear like, oh, it's so hard, or he's so difficult, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But okay, how can we make this, if this is a commitment we're going to have for life, if we know like we are going to be together forever, then why not think of ways like, how can we get along better? How can we make this easier? And so my husband and I, when I wrote the book, we had been married 25 years. We've recently had an anniversary. So now we're at 26. So the idea was, you know what, as I look back on my marriage so far, it really, sure, there have been challenges and things like that, but it hasn't been like hard. Like it's been happy, like really, like I really enjoy being with my husband and vice versa. So the question then is kind of reverse engineering that. What is it? Like, we're not superheroes. We're not super spiritual. You know, why is this? Like, it can't be this anomaly. This has to be possible for people. So we really just try to look back at our own story. What decisions really helped us to make marriage easier? Because I think a lot of times when you haven't made a decision and you're just wondering, right? Like, should I do this? Should I that? Then you're just floundering. But when you've made certain decisions, and we'll talk about that, then things just move so much smoother. So we have 3 kids, 2 in college now and 1 in high school.
Wow. So cool. And I had the privilege of meeting Arlene in person. And fun that when I first met you, Arlene, I was like, this is somebody I could hang with. Like, that's I want to be friends.
And me to feel about you.
And then when we met in person, I was like, yep, she's everything I imagined except taller. I didn't know you were tall.
I'm tall. Yes.
And people are often surprised that I'm not. I don't know why people think I'm tall. I'm like, no, I'm almost 5'4", but you're tall. Oh, so this is super fun, and everything you do is so excellent. So of course, at the end, we'll talk a little bit more, and I'll link to all the places people can find you. But I have been a fan and a friend, so this is really, really exciting for me. So since you mentioned the decisions, maybe let's start with that. You cover 4 decisions that you've made in your marriage, and I love these. So why don't you dive in?
And as you hear these, you're not going to be like, whoa, I've never thought of that before, right? Like, you're going to be like, okay, but just try it with like new ears, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the first decision is to play by the rules that you're going to pre-decide in your marriage what you will or you won't do. So you're not following your feelings. You're saying, I'm going to follow the commandments of God because they bring life and I'm going to play by God's rules. So it's the first really big piece there. The second decision is give thanks every day. So instead of thinking like, oh, well, why don't I have a marriage like I see on Instagram or whatever? Instead, you appreciate what you actually have and you are giving thanks to God. You have a grateful heart before God. So give thanks every day. The third decision is serve your spouse. Real popular, right?
Right.
And it's the idea of like approaching your marriage with, you know, how can I help you today? How can I bless you today? What can I do for you? Instead of like, what are you going to do for me? Because if you walk through your marriage with every day waking up, what are you going to do for me? Like you're going to, it's not fun to be a selfish person, but of course, everything in our culture, it feeds that, right? Yeah. So if he's not making you happy, then you can leave. So instead it's, okay, wait a minute. Decision is I'm going to serve you. So decision three, serve your spouse. And then the fourth decision, take fun seriously. That fun isn't just this frivolous thing that you tack on when everything else is done. But no, you actually have to really be serious about having fun together and have the date nights and have the trips and keep laughing together, because the thing that brought you together as man and wife was it was fun. And the thing that's going to bring you apart is you're going to look at each other and you'll be like, we haven't had fun in like 2 years. And then you're going to think, we should probably not be together because this is not fun anymore. So it's actually very serious that you really have to have fun together so that you stay together.
That is so good. That is such a great way to frame it. Okay, I'm going to ask you to unpack a little bit more of each of these because I do love them. And since I've had the chance to read in advance, I know that that though they may not come across as rocket science, there's a lot to each of these. And I love how you unpack them. So playing by the rules, you've mentioned God's word. How can we apply God's? I mean, there's not necessarily a lot of really specifics about the day-to-day marriage stuff in the Bible. Can you give some examples of how that works in marriage?
Yeah. So much of it, right? If our heart is like, Lord, help me to keep your commandments. Help me to have good judgment like you do. Help me to show mercy to others, right? All these things that you see, like if you're looking at all the one another passages in the New Testament, we're to be kind to one another and forgiving one another and gentle with one another. So if these are the rules that you live by, not just because you're married, but because you are a believer in Christ, and because those are the rules, then you're going to bring that into your marriage. And so obviously there are the big rules, right? Not to commit adultery, you know, would be a big one, not to lie to your spouse, you know, all those things. So I think if your attitude is like, Lord, I want to live within the boundaries that you set, because if I live within these boundaries, they're protective hedges around me, and then I can flourish. I think that even though there are, you know, obviously there are specific ones, wives submit to your husbands and husband love your wives as Christ loved the church. So there's very specific types of things. But you see throughout the Bible, you know, like you think of the Proverbs over and over, it says it's better to live in a corner of a roof than with a quarrelsome woman, right? So if you're playing by that rule, then you're like, oh, I probably should not be the quarrelsome woman. It's like, okay. So there's definitely things there for us to play by.
Yeah, I think once or twice my husband has done the drip, drip, drip. And I'm like, stop. No, that's really good because these are principles, which I often say, parenting similarly, sometimes there's not a specific rule in the Bible, but the principles will always be there. So with that, I think a common issue we face today is how do we prevent kids from becoming the center of our families rather than the marriage?
Yeah. And the scripture paints the children, right, as you're blessed. Mm-hmm. If they're sitting around your table, they're like olive shoots, right? Or they're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So they should be like something added to your life. Mm-hmm. And I think something we have done maybe, you know, in the last couple decades, because maybe our grandparents did not have this problem, is we have become a very child-centered type of family, that it's like everything goes around the child's schedule. So this is something that we have to be able to see. And sometimes it's hard to see, right? When a baby is born, the whole universe goes around the baby, which is makes sense because this baby actually will die if you do not take care of this baby. So it kind of makes sense that everything stops and you try to take care of this baby. But the baby grows up, right? The baby's 2, 6, 8, 15, and then we're still orbiting around the baby. So this is a huge issue. And it's for marriages, it's really detrimental, because then you realize you're getting your fulfillment, like feeling needed from your kids instead of your husband, or you're very quick to serve your kids, but you're really like, why would I serve my spouse? So, I mean, so my husband, who's a realtor, like, let's say he would ask me, because I'm an author, right? He'd say, like, look at this letter. And I'll think to myself, why should I look at your letter? You're an adult. Look at your own letter. And then I realize, wait a minute, if my child asked me, look over my homework or whatever, I'd be like, oh, sure. So we have a different standard. Like for our kids, we'll like, oh, we'll go drive somewhere extra, right? To buy the thing that they need for school. Or we will sit in our car for an hour because they are still in their practice and we're just sitting happily in our car. Like we'll do all this stuff. But if our spouse, heaven forbid, like we go to pick up our spouse and we have to wait an hour, right? Oh, we would be like, what? You made me wait? So just these simple questions, they kind of reveal that we will bend over backwards to help our children. And it's usually the mom. It doesn't have to be. There are a lot of moms who are more strict and the dads are more doting, you know, but in the that relationship. So I think it's really good for us to recognize that and to realize, you know, now that I have two in college, out of the house, and one high schooler, like this happens. Like these children will grow up and they will go away and you will be with your spouse.
What's left? Yes.
What's left? Yeah. So that friendship has to be there. Yeah. That being together, valuing each other, that has to be laid while the kids are 2, 6, 8, 12, et cetera. So some really telling things would be things like, oh, when was your last date? And is it because of the kids? You know, like maybe you think, well, we have a good babysitter, but my child always cries. Like they're like, mommy, you know, like, don't leave me. So I don't have the heart to do it. So we don't go on dates. So then you realize, okay, then that means your marriage was second to your child being a little uncomfortable. Now, obviously this is a trusted babysitter. It's nothing. It's just your child is not going to be happy. But guess what? Your child will get over that. And they will probably grow up to forget that, but they won't ever forget that their mom and dad were happy. So it's very important, like, to value that relationship. Right. Another question is, like, if a new activity comes, right? Your child is thinking about doing club volleyball. So usually we think, okay, can we do it? Can we afford it? Can we draw? Okay. But really to ask the questions, like, how will this impact the whole vibe of the home?
Right.
You know, how is this going to impact our marriage? Are we going to have as much time together? And these are, you know, questions we don't normally ask. So I just want to encourage you as you're listening, think about not just how you can help your kids, but think even before that, how do you strengthen the marriage? Because there's nothing more secure or a gift you can give your kids than a strong marriage that they know mom and dad are okay.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. Okay, so leading up to this month, I did throw out some questions on social media and asked people for areas of their marriage they wanted some wisdom advice on. So since we're talking about building the marriage here, I'm just going to jump right in and get personal. So anyone with little ones, you can decide if you want to plug their ears. But we want to know, great minds want to know.
Yes.
How do you, well, maybe there'll be two parts to this. Since you've done the research for this book, let's talk about sex.
Yeah.
First of all, how much is necessary to have a healthy marriage? Right. And second of all, the question that's come up even more is, how in the world do you do it when you've got these kids always around, especially for those of us who homeschool? So even if you happen to have unique opportunities, there's always kids around.
Yeah. So you've touched on my husband's favorite subject.
Oh, and
probably
really?
many husbands' favorite subject, right? Yeah, it's like, okay, let's talk about this. So of course I interviewed Shanti Feldhahn, who has done all this great research. And that's what, and I love even how you ask, like, how much sex is necessary?
Necessary.
Right? That's like a mom question. There's no man that's like, how much of this is necessary?
They're not asking
that. I love that. So what she found was that four times every 3 weeks, statistically is the norm, which is, I think, helpful. So basically one and one third time per week was the norm. And that the more people, and then they were also quick to say that's the norm. It doesn't mean it's prescriptive, like this is what you should do.
Okay,
it's
real quick,
more,
can I jump
like,
in the norm in healthy marriages or just in marriage in general?
Just in marriage in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So in marriage in general, this is what people are doing. And what they found was what's important is that you're okay to talk about it. They found mm-hmm. that couples that talk about their intimate life, that they are happier, and that couples who are engaging at least like one time a week and having sex together, that they are like 95% more happy in their marriages. So okay. it's kind of like if you are doing well in the bedroom, right. that it is reflecting like, oh, okay, you're caring for each other. You are lavishing on each other. You are enjoying each other. You're making time for each other, right? Those things are happening, and that those are going to correlate with a happy marriage. And it's just like anything else, right? When there's a deficit of something, mm-hmm. James will tell me it's the missing tile theory. So if he's a realtor and if there's all these tiles, the tile work, but one is missing, even though like 800 of them look fine, the eye will go to the one that's missing and wow. it'll be like something is wrong with that. Sure. And he'll say to me, you know, sex is that missing tile, that if that one tile is off, for especially for a man, it can be for a woman too, but when that one tile is off, it's like everything is off. The good news of that is if we can fix that tile, then our marriage is going to hum along a lot easier. Now, I will tell you, this has been the struggle, right? In our 26 years of marriages, oh, you have kids, you have different desires. This is something we've constantly had to talk about and act on. And, you know, I interviewed Dr. David Clark many years ago, the psychologist, and he said, to answer your second part of your question, couples who have children who do not schedule sex do not have sex.
Wow.
Right? So it was this whole idea of you do need some kind of practice and scheduling, because if spontaneous isn't working, something else has to work, right?
Sure, sure.
So whether it's like, you know, for my husband, I tell our secrets. I hope none of my children are going to listen to this, but it's fine. But we call it heart time, which I mean, good grief. Yes. So we'll do like little calendar invites to heart time. And I feel like even Lucy once was like, what is this heart time? And I remember I said something like, oh, that's when daddy and I like talk and make sure everything's okay between us, you know. So you do have to actually put this on your calendar, but it's kind of like the same thing that you would, you know, schedule a dinner date or something. It's just something you know that's good for your marriage and that you should schedule in. Now, with having the kids in the house, that's so true. So this is maybe the beauty of having a babysitter or having a family that you guys are swapping, you know, their kids are going to your house and your kids are going to their house. Something where there is a kind of rhythm where you realize like this is important, that, you know, like we need to schedule this. We need to make this happen. If this isn't happening, then we need to make this happen. And then maybe make it funny. I know it's hard, you know, like it's happening after everyone's in bed and you're so exhausted and you're just like, I cannot believe now we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And that somehow that you're bringing humor into this and that you're having fun with it. And the other thing that I learned from Shante Feldhahn that was very encouraging, this is a key that I did not have for a long time in my marriage. And this, I talk about it more in the book, but it's this receptive desire and initiating desire. So the initiating is that like, come on, baby, let's do it. And you feel it and you want it and you want to do it. And then the receptive is like, you know, I wasn't really planning on that. But now that we're like doing this and we're like here, like, okay, yeah, this feels good. This feels nice. So what ends up happening, and they say that statistically, they say 75% of women have this receptive, you know, so you wonder like, why is a man always like, I'm always ready. Like, just give me the go signal and I'll go. That's because they're kind of built to be initiators and we are more built to be receptive. And I think once we understand that, my poor husband, he was like, it's so sad. Like, I want you to also be all initiating and all like excited. But once he realizes, oh, this is a response.
Yeah.
So it's like, I remember James, this is so good if you have little kids. He told me one day, you know how Ethan talks about Legos all the time? You know, Ethan was probably like 7 or something at the time. He's always talking about like Legos, like all different kinds of Legos. And he's thinking about Legos and he's talking about Legos. I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's how men think about sex. Like they are constantly thinking about sex. And I was like, really? I was like, really? And he took like a little
thing.
Is it right? So it just helps us understand like, oh, okay. You think about it a whole lot more than I think about it.
Right.
But that doesn't make it unimportant or does, you know, so it's just understanding that, oh, you, and again, even when you're married like a super long time, you're still like, I don't understand this. And that's okay. I think this is the mystery of God bringing us all together. Right.
I think I've said before that it's like stretching where like, I'm never in the mood to stretch, but once I stretch, I'm like, I'm so glad I did that.
I'm so glad I did that. Because like, think of you feel so close, right? When you're physically intimate with your spouse, it's like all is well with the world. You mm-hmm. feel close together. And yeah. it's a very good thing. Another thing that Sharon Janes told me, another author, is she said, like, when your husband brings you flowers, you don't want him to be like, here are your flowers. Like, I know I'm supposed to do this. So right. here are your flowers because I love you. You could be like, oh, you can take your flowers and right? you can, you know. And so she talked about like in lovemaking, sometimes we as women are like, okay, I'm willing.
Yeah.
Here's my body. Right. You may have it. I am willing. Mm. And that really helped me like to understand like, oh, he doesn't just want this like willing, like, no. you know, here are your flowers.
Right.
To like, no, I'm happy. And some, does that mean like sometimes like in the same way he probably has to act like, oh, I bought you these flowers and I love you. Like maybe he doesn't feel that way in that moment,
yeah.
but he's being kind and he's acting. So in right. the same way, I think we as women can be shift like in our minds, like, okay, I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
Like I'm happy to be
here.
It's a
here. Choice, maybe mm-hmm. a faith choice to some extent.
Yes.
Even.
Like a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A decision, right? That's what we're
yes.
talking about, which yeah. I think leads us well to the next decision. And I'm seeing like this theme, which I love because I, you know, talk about it in parenting as well, but it's an intentionality, right?
Yeah.
In all of these decisions. So next you talked about the atmosphere in the home of complaining versus mm-hmm. gratitude. And wow, is this a topic that goes across the board in families, but help us understand how we can do better at that in
yeah.
marriage. Specifically.
I'm going to tell a story about my daughter, Noelle, who's the middle child. We all did martial arts for a season of time when they were in elementary school, including my husband and I. Mm. And Noelle was like not super willing or enthusiastic about it. She'd complain about it. Like, we have to go. I don't want to go. But a couple, probably months into it, she said to us, I'm never going to complain again about going to Blue Dragon. And we're like, what has happened to you, child?
Wow.
And she said, the partner I was with, like, because you get matched up with someone. She's like, the partner I was with the whole time, he was like, I don't want to be here. I hate this class. Mm-hmm. My parents make me be here. Like, and she's like, he complained so much and it drove me so crazy that I realized I am not going to complain
wow.
anymore. And I was like, okay, that was an awesome matchup.
Thank you, Lord,
for this one. But you know, when you see it so plainly, you realize, I don't want to be like that. And so when we're really face-to-face with someone who grumbles a lot.
Ooh, it's ugly.
Right? It's like, we want to get away from that person. We're like, okay, what is my excuse that I can leave this lunch, that I cannot be paired with you because I do not want to be with you. And when we realize, wait a minute, I'm the person, you know? And maybe it's not with our voice that we're doing it, but maybe it's in our hearts and the Lord yeah. sees our hearts and we're complaining on the inside and we're saying, how come I'm doing all the work? How come you're not taking me on these nice vacations? How come you're so mean to me? And it's, you know, the children of Israel, when they were going to go into the promised land, the sin that beset them wasn't stealing or idolatry or, you know, adultery. It was they grumbled against God. They grumbled and they told him basically, you're not enough.
Wow.
The food you give me isn't enough. The fact that you do miracles every day and you lead us by fire by night and a cloud by day, I'm kind of over it and it's not enough. It was a grumbling spirit. And in the same way, obviously, when we got married, we were on the top of the world, right? We thought, my word, I am marrying the best person in the entire earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to pinch myself that I'm marrying this person and I love this person. But then we grumble and we say it's not enough.
Yep. Yep.
And so for us to realize, wow, we have to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to be grateful for the marriage that you've given me. I'm going to be grateful for the person you've given me. I'm going to look for your tender mercies. Maybe it is a desert season in your marriage, but you can be grateful and say, Lord, show me
yeah.
a tender mercy today. Show me something through your eyes to appreciate about my spouse mm-hmm. and start it that way.
Oh, that's huge. Well, I'll tell you when I struggle the most with this one is when I've been on social media.
Yes.
Tell me I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one.
Are
it's like your life is fantastic until you start scrolling mm-hmm. and then you realize, oh my goodness,
mm-hmm.
I don't even have near what they have, or my husband doesn't react like that.
Right.
He's like so cute and all this.
Right.
Yes.
It's so true. I'm so guilty.
True.
I was just talking to a woman who's been married just a couple of years and this came up. She said she went off of social media because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we were laughing because we were like, if our husbands were like some of those guys, would we even like them? Like, that's kind of weird, some of
right,
them.
Exactly.
But in the moment, you're like, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
If you're like me, you've got nutrition on your mind in 2025. And also, if you're like me, you're really busy. If that's the case, then Factor has got you covered. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to simply heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfasts, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/Swanson50off. That's the number 50. Swanson50off, and use code Swanson50off to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. Now I'm going to have that written out down below in show notes, but that's code Swanson50off at factormeals.com/Swanson50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Hey friends, well, I hear a lot from homeschool families and those who are thinking about becoming homeschoolers who have curriculum on their mind, especially topics like math and science, where parents feel such a responsibility to make sure their kids get what they need if they want to go to college one day, and yet they also want to find something their kids will enjoy. Well, let me introduce you to our good friend, Dr. Shorman, who has math and science courses at the diveintomath.com website. My boys all have taken Dive for their math and science, and my now college graduate sons feel that Dr. Shorman prepared them very well for their degrees in engineering and data analytics. A couple things you want to know about Dive. Well, Dr. Shorman uses John Saxon's proven teaching methods, and he incorporates 21st century topics like computer math, technology applications, and current real-world work problems. Dr. Shorman does such a great job of offering a biblical and historical foundation, and he teaches the why of learning math, which makes a huge difference to our kids. Dr. Shorman offers Algebra 1 and 2, which teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. If you want to keep the door open for your kids to potentially go to college one day, I highly recommend checking out diveintomath.com for your math and science curriculum needs. Yeah, so social media, what do you say to that?
You know, and let's do this. So it used to be when you saw like a magazine ad of someone's home or like a marriage piece or something, you knew like they're dressing up for the camera. You knew that. Like their house doesn't normally look like that and they don't usually look like that. They're just doing that because they're being interviewed. It was a clear delineation of between normal life and celebrity life. But what happens on social media is we now they have dressed up and they have, you know, all the but we think like, "Oh, because it's on social media, that must be how their everyday life is." And it's not.
No.
And
so there's everything. Yes.
Yeah. So for us to realize, "Wait, that's not real." So first of all, to be like, okay, that's everyone showing their highlight reel or them trying to sell something or them trying to portray themselves a certain way. But really what is most important, right? It's not what strangers are doing. It's not what's happening in the homes of strangers or celebrities or influencers. It's what's happening in your home. And really think about it, the content being churned out by social media, the most popular content, the stuff that the algorithm is picking is not like, "Oh, let's show these people what a healthy marriage looks like. Let's show these people how you can be married 50 plus years and really do great." Like, this is not what it's showing. Let's show people how to be monogamous so that they will not want to flirt with someone else. I mean, this is like not what people are showing you. So for us to realize we're not, when we enter the online world, it's not a world that is naturally supportive of marriage. It's not feeding contentment because you have to buy something. And if you buy something, you must need something. So they're going to just poke at all your needs. So I applaud your listener, your friend that took that time away mm-hmm. from social media to realize, like, this is not really helping me and I can distance myself.
Right. So important to know just that self-awareness. If you recognize it's a tripping you up, then stepping away.
And you know what, Monica? It's not even what you're seeing. Just think it's just time. Like if you're spending an hour on social media, like you could have been walking around the block with your spouse. You could have been playing pickleball together. You could have been like reading a book together and talking about it. You'd be doing a million other things.
Mm-hmm. How often is it lying in bed scrolling and you're like, So yes. Right. Busted occasionally on that one.
Yeah.
So important. Okay. So the third decision you touched on already was serving your spouse. And I think my question I'd like you to talk to us about is, what about when it's not reciprocal? If you feel like, okay, I've been serving long enough, you're getting burnt out. How can we just approach this with the best attitude possible?
Yes. It's like, wait a minute, I've done my years of service.
Yeah.
It's like, tag, you're it.
Right.
I think so much of it is like, Lord, you see me. Like, get that perspective of God is at the end of your life. You will honestly stand before God and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he's going to bring up all the times that you served your spouse, you know, dinner with a smile, even though your spouse didn't say thank you. He's going to remember like, oh, you did that because that's what you're, you know, all these things that we think, oh, they don't get noticed. Oh, my spouse doesn't say thank you. I can't believe it. God notices. So I think for our hearts to be like, you know what, if I don't get a thank you from my spouse, I will someday get an eternal thank you.
Wow.
And honestly, to really...
What a shift.
Really like think that way and just think God's thank you is going to be so much grander than whatever human. So that is a little bit of delayed gratification, right? We want the thank you right here, right now. Mm. But to realize, okay, I will be thanked for the, like I am accountable for the way I act. I can't change my spouse, but I can change me.
Yeah.
So that is just a work on, you know what, whether you serve me or not, I will choose to serve because I know that is biblical. I know that is making me more Christ-like. And God willing, you know, I talk about Dr. Gary Chapman in the book and all, you know, your listeners mostly know him because of the five love languages. Mm-hmm. And you would think he had this perfect, happy marriage, but he had a very unhappy marriage at the beginning. And you can read about that more in the book. But the hinge that changed it is when he said, I'm supposed to serve her regardless. And so he started serving her. He started doing things for her that she wanted that now he was doing. And it took a couple months. But after a few months, she was like, oh, you know, he wanted her to hold her hand. You know, he wanted to hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted her to laugh at his jokes and look at him all sweet, you know?
Yeah.
And in time, those things happen. So it's very typical that if you serve your spouse without malice, without thinking, now, what are you going to do for me? Because I feel like people feel that when it's like, I did this.
Yes.
Now, what are you going to do?
Right.
It's like, it kind of sits not great. But if you're really serving, I love you and I just want to serve you. Believe me, if your spouse is a good and decent person, and maybe they used to be, but they're not right now, it'll come back out maybe a little bit. You're right. Like eventually they're going to be like, I better reciprocate.
Yeah.
I'm really being a jerk here.
Right.
You know, so I feel like let God convict them.
Yes.
And I do know people who they have served their spouse and their spouse does not say thank you. Their spouse has not changed and it has been years. And I just have to, first of all, say I'm sorry because that's really, really hard, but also continue that like be faithful and do it as unto the Lord and then find that fulfillment, you know, from like a girlfriend. Don't find it through a man, right? If you're a woman, don't find it from an opposite sex person. But have a friend in your life that you can say, man, I'm hurting. My spouse doesn't reciprocate. And the kind of friend that will pray for you and love you, not say, you should leave your spouse. That's not the,
probably not the
right kind of support, you know?
Yeah.
But for you to have that kind of support in your life.
Right. Yes. That's super good. And I think too, being able to go to the Lord and again, maybe it's at first just by faith saying, I want to be filled up by you so that I have more to give to my spouse and really receiving that from the Lord. And there's a time to talk about this, right? Like you're
not suggesting
silent and just serve. Like you might bring up, hey, I'm struggling in this.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say is sometimes something, make it really small and doable. So something like, you know what? I would really appreciate if after this, you would just say thank you. Sure. Is that too much to ask?
Right.
You know, and really just make it super simple and small and like for them to realize like, oh yeah, I could do that. I should probably say thank you.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't have to give them 1,000 words. Yeah. Just name what you want. They appreciate directness.
And even asking for help, like being, so let's say they're not offering. And so you're hurt because you always help them. How come they don't offer to help you? So you could say, you know, I am feeling really busy at work. Is it possible that you could pick up the dry cleaning? Is it possible that maybe one meal a week that you could do or we could go out? Like, ask for help. And I think that is a very, very good thing to do.
Yes. I think they appreciate that too because they like
something specific.
Like, yes, they do. Okay. So you tell the story in the book about in order to serve your husband better, you took up an activity that maybe wasn't on the top of your personal list, but you went camping.
Yeah.
So tell us about that and maybe lesson learned or how we can do similar things in our marriage.
Yeah, the idea here is, oh, you like something that I don't like, right? That's the general idea. So you put in whatever it is that your spouse likes that you don't like. So we got married and James, he was used to like, oh, I love being in nature. I like your boys. I love putting things in a backpack and like going out there and being in a tent. And I'm like, my family, we would like be in a hotel and like walk around the lake, you know, and have dinner at a restaurant. Like
that was
like
nature.
It was nature for us. It was like so different. Yes. So when we were newlyweds, we were in a new city, Dallas, new church, and there was a camping trip. And he's like, wouldn't this be such a good way to meet people? So go to the new married's camping trip. And you know how like in your heart or like you say yes with your mouth, but your heart is like, I so do not want to be there. So I said yes because it was a good idea. And as we're driving to the campsite, it was like a 2-hour drive, and he would be like, would you like to listen to some music? I don't care. Are you too warm? Are you too hot? I don't know. Whatever you want is fine. My temperature is fine. So I was very like that the whole time because I was so mad that we were going to this camping trip. Like, and I was kind of nervous. Like, I never slept in a tent before. Like, I've never done these things before. So I was kind of nervous. I was really mad. So he stops right outside of the campground, turns the car off, and he says, are you going to be like this all weekend? Because if you're going to be like this all weekend, we can just go home because I'm here to have fun.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you mean I didn't have to come? You know, and then you realize like, oh, I'm this being this baby newlywed person, you know, you realize like, okay. So I say, I'm sorry, I'm being a big baby. And okay. So you, of course, when you meet people, you're like, oh, hi, right? You're all nice to them. And they're like, oh, great sleeping bag. And basically that night he was supposed to take me to the bathroom. That was our deal. If I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you have to wake up and you have to walk me to the bathroom. But of course he was sound asleep. He did not move. I was so mad. I took out the flashlight. I was like so scared, like a bear, or, you know, I'm just a baby. Like now I get that I was such a baby, but I was such a baby. Go to the, I mean, it had a restroom. So I flipped on the lights and all the bugs, like all like scattered everywhere. So I was like shaking. Yeah. I was like so scared. So I came back to the tent. I'm crying and I'm trying to cry really loud
of course,
he'll wake up. So
of
I'm
course. Like, and everyone else can hear you. But
yeah, exactly. And he's like, are you crying? And I was like, you didn't take me to the bathroom. So we had a very memorable first trip. I would give it a C. Like I survived it. It was fine. We had our little tiff, you know, that was great. So that was the first time. So we've camped, I mean, that's like 25 years ago. So we've camped many times since that time. Sometimes we've had a cabin, which would be more like me with a, you know, like a shared restroom. We've also done the whole 3 days like you, your family has done through the Inyo Forest where we did 3 days backpacking. I've done that twice. So we've done, we've kind of been toward each other. And I think what it is that attitude of like, you know what, if you like it, I will try it.
Yes.
It's not like I have to love it, but if I can physically do it, I will try.
Right.
So I am not of great like physical fitness. Like I was never in sports and, you know, et cetera, but I have a good attitude. So in my family, I'm known as the good sport. So like I can't do sports, but I'm a good sport.
That is so fun.
So find, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And even if it's not your cup of tea, try it just because your spouse likes it.
Yeah.
You know, because it is an act of love towards your spouse.
It is, especially if their love language is, you know, quality time, then all the more. That's my husband. If I'll do something he loves to do with him, that speaks volumes of love. And your husband has reciprocated, I think, at least those of us who do what we do, we write books, we do all this.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we, my husband doesn't get what I do. I mean, he has grown so much, but oftentimes he's a little bit lost in the world that I function in. But your husband came on the Today Show with you, right?
He did. Good for him. Yes. Can you imagine? So
no.
I was so excited for this opportunity. And then they're like, you can come because it's a marriage book. You can come if your husband comes. So I'm asking my husband, he's never been interviewed in his entire life, right?
Wow.
And then his first interview is the Today Show. He was, and see, this is shows like supporting your spouse's dreams, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So he was such a good sport. So he was like, okay, we have to sit on tall chairs and have someone interview us and I have to practice. So he literally like got a small group together so that we could sit on these tall chairs and
that
be interviewed and practice. So he really
took
tried.
It serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
He took it serious. He tried and he did just fine.
Oh, I love that story. Good for him. I like James. I want to meet James.
Yes, he would like you too.
I hear your stories. I'm like, this is a good guy.
Yeah.
The four of us have to get together one day. Okay. So the final decision I love so much, having fun. And I don't know, I kind of feel like in most marriages, one might be a little bit more on the fun side.
Yes.
One's a little more serious. I know I've told my boys, it's my job to pull out the humor from your dad. So at times that's frustrated
that's
me because I'm like, I just kind of want you to like be fun and funny. But you know what? God gave me to you so that I could pull it out
yes.
of you. But any tips? Well, actually, you have a list of activities in your book,
yes.
right?
Yes. So get the book. You'll have, there's so many activities and there's guts. So what I suggest is you go through the activities and you like circle whichever ones are tolerable to you. And then you go through the list and you go, look, we both like sailing. We both
sure.
like, you know, whatever. And it's like, okay, we can do this. We both like shopping. We both like sports, going to football games, whatever it is, that you would find something that it was tolerable enough that you could do together.
Yes, and end up probably having fun.
Yes, and have fun.
Even if you think you're just tolerating
there will probably
it.
Be like a few things you really both enjoy, right?
Yes.
So you both are like, we both love this. But a lot of the things will be like, yeah, that's his thing. And I just kind of come along or vice versa. But it's fun enough that you enjoy it.
Totally. And you're building memories, which
yeah.
we all need. I think
yes.
of how often we reflect back on like, when we first met and we tell stories and remember, and it's like, you don't want to quit doing that.
Yeah.
You want to be, you know, in 20 more years reflecting on the things you're doing today.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And they show, like research shows, if as a couple you do new things together, that novelty, it mm-hmm. adds something, like it's good. Like instead of doing the same thing you do over and over again, that you say like, oh, we're going to vacation in a different spot, or oh, we're going to, for us, it was learning how to ballroom dance. That's the theme, the stage we're in right now
so
is
fun.
We're going to these lessons and we're learning how to waltz and tango, and it's ridiculous and it's super fun at the same time.
So great.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, Arlene, I just love you. And this book is so full of really, it's a breath of fresh air on a marriage. I just think it's so encouraging. And I love that you're not telling people to try to have the best marriage you've ever seen, but
yeah.
can we make it a little easier, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So for somebody who just today wants to put something into practice, maybe they don't have the book. They have to order it and it'll
yeah.
come tomorrow. But
yes.
do you have just one tip or nugget you can leave everybody with? Something they can do today to make their
yeah.
marriage easier?
You know, in the same way where you would think, oh, okay, I'm going to be more physically fit. So I'm going to like go to the gym and do this stuff. And that's nice until it gets more specific, right?
Right.
So if you're serious, then you'll say, oh, the way this is going to work is I'm going to attend a specific class with my friend. I'm going to put my shoes in the, you know, I'm going to pick out my outfit the night before and put them by my bed. So everything's really easy. So in that same mindset of like, let me make this specific, let me make this easy. That's what I want you to do for your marriage.
Mm.
So if it's like, okay, I know we should date more. Like we haven't gone out for dinner in like 5 months, you know, so make it easy. So then it's like, okay, I'm listening to this podcast. What I need to do is be like, spouse of mine, let's set a date. Within the next 2 weeks, we've got to find a place and just make it really easy. We're going to go out for coffee. Like it's not
yes.
rocket science. Like just make it super easy and do it. So take whatever it is that you know, like, oh, I need to apologize to my
something
spouse.
Something that popped
oh,
out today
yes,
in this conversation. Something
yes.
hit you. I know it did.
Yes. That you say, okay, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, you know what? You've been asking me to go rollerblading with you and doggone it, I'm going to do it, you know, or whatever. You've been asking me to go shopping with you and I
yeah.
will go with you.
Yes. So good. That is huge. We can all do one thing, but get intentional and practical about it. Would you say a prayer for all the listeners' marriages before
yes.
we wrap? Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Lord, thank you so much for the spouse you've given this, our spouses, their gifts. And Lord, we just want to declare that you are Lord over our marriages. We want to dedicate our marriages to you. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord, for our selfishness. Forgive us for the times we have hurt one another. And we just pray that you would put grace in between us right now. We pray, God, for good conversations to flow out of this podcast. We pray, Lord, that marriages would be helped and that every person listening would feel, Lord, just that renewed enthusiasm for their marriage. Lord, we pray that you would guard us from evil, that you would help us to prioritize each other. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in our homes today. Make our marriages strong. May they be a blessing so they may bless our children and generations after, and that we would be able to be a light in our communities. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Aw, thanks so much. And where can people just follow you right now if
yes.
they want to go online?
Yeah, Making Marriage Easier is the book. You can go to makingmarriageeasier.com and there's freebies. I have date night ideas. Even if you only have 15 minutes, I have a date for you.
Ooh.
And then National Marriage Week every year is between February 7th and 14th. So this is a movement just to say marriage is worth it. And we want to shift the culture to be very positive about marriage. So you can look at that's marriageweek.org. And there's all sorts of free resources there as well, as they have a free live stream every day with a different marriage topic.
Ooh.
So that's also a really good resource.
Amazing. So
yes.
good. Okay. And I'm going to put links to anything we talked about at monicaswanson.com/marriage-easier. And you'll find links to Arlene and everything that she just mentioned as well. So thank you so much for being here. I love chatting with you.
Thank you. It was so much fun, Monica. Thank you.
You bet. Aloha. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation, and I do wish you a very happy Valentine's Day. Whether you like to keep it cool and stay in, or maybe you enjoy going out this year, I'm kind of excited. I have a good friend whose birthday is on Valentine's Day. Happy birthday, Barrett, if you're listening. And her husband planned a special night out for a few of us couples. So I told Dave he's off the hook. We've got a Valentine's date. So I'm really excited about that. We don't always do that, but whatever you're doing, hope you enjoy. Also, I like to remind people one tradition I started years ago is on Valentine's morning, I like to get up and start the day with a special time with the Lord, because God is love. He is the one who will never let us down. Even the best spouse will make mistakes and will have disappointments, but the Lord is the lover of our souls and worthy of hanging out with and spending some extra special time. So, for that alone, have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Also, heads up, mark your calendars. Next week, my husband Dave will be with me as we are going to be talking about how we raised our boys along the lines of dating and relationships. We get a lot of questions about that. So we're going to have a fun conversation that I hope will be encouraging to all of you. And of course, many more great podcast episodes coming up this spring. So definitely make sure you're subscribed to this podcast, and please do spread the word to your friends about what we're talking about here this month and all the time, encouraging families, encouraging parents, encouraging faith, encouraging wellness. Okay, guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.